Now, we go over to critical semiotics. And I think we got to page 115.
Oh, good.
Now, we're going to get, what'd you say? Did you say good grief?
Go, Bob, go. Go, Bob, go. It's 3:40 a.m. But, yeah, let's go straight to critical semiotics.
Bob does not stop. Let's see. Bob goes on as long as somebody's here willing to listen. Okay, I think I made a note of the page we stopped at. Yes, we went to page 115. May 7th, that's 14th, a week and a bit ago. Page 115, that's when I made the note to myself. So, 115, let's see. I have here a description of Iondom. So, this philosopher, Felix Guattari, in 1995, reminds his readers. Now, these guys are responding to the Fox News effect eventually, not right in 95, but they kind of pick up before Fox shows up. Guattari reminds his readers that these fragments, I better read the first part. Semiocapitalism did not crush, now that's what Matt Taibbi is saying, Roger Ailes is doing, is signs, iconic capitalism, selling images to hate or fear or celebrate, right? So
yes.
Semio,
yep.
Signs, semiocapitalism did not crush Guattari's belief that a re-singularizing combination of social experimentation and new technology was the best hope for exiting mass media and entering the universe of post-media. Some people would say Fox was the world of post-media, so Guattari didn't see that coming. He thought he saw a positive spin on it. The semiotic fragments produced by a precariously employed cognitariat, may be detached from the dominant significations they are given by the abstract machines of immaterial production software. Guattari reminds his readers that these fragments, quote, secrete new fields of reference, and in this rupture of sense, quote, an existential singularization correlative to the genesis of new coefficients of freedom will become possible. I say that's a fancy way of discussing what Ion's agenda was. An existential singularization, take on your own power, correlative to the genesis of new coefficients of freedom, new autonomy in the new media landscapes, Web 2.0, will become possible. What curtails the capacity to apprehend and enter such new fields of reference is the devastating effect of semiocapitalism on the general intellect. That's what they're saying, you know, Fox made everybody dumb. Semiocapital wants to subsume cognitive activity as such. So while the environment is made that people can develop their hypersubjectivity to great autonomous extent, while that's happening, that would be nano-fragmentation, there's another level on the TV body level that is dumbing down the population. So the chip body is the existential singularization. Thiel's word was co-anesthesia. And existential singularization correlative to the genesis of the new coefficients of freedom will become possible. Then, entangling the Helmslevian net, Helmslevian is some other guy, Guattari prepared the ground for the investigation of how the abstract machines of semiocapitalism, that's the Android meme, decoded subjectivity through info-machinic networks and the management of fluxes at the heart of immaterial labor and production. In the suspended space-time of the not yet, quote, not yet, recognizing the speeds and slownesses and species of soft substances and the relative purities of form and immaterial contractions, that's im and material contractions, the plateaus of semiocapitalist subjectivation may be given names designating their singularities, Benetton, Berlusconi, etc. Guattari's own wily semiotic disobedience with regard to classic categories and theories helped to refigure how semiocapitalism attempts to enunciate the machine of human subjectivity by having it produce enslaved, and subjected to mobile networks. Semiotic fragments in the manner of A signifying particles in circulation. Fox News is kind of like a signifying. And then the other media caught up so that the whole Android meme could have a starburst of A signifying to nobody in particular, every kind of icon that semiocapitalism capitalism could process. In other words, the direct, and this is page 116 of the Critical Semiotics book. I was just reading from 115. Now, 116. In other words, the direct exploitation of general intellect by semiocapitalism compels subjectivity to enunciate more and more like the non-human machines into which it is increasingly plugged and assembled, but not ultimately into which cognitive activity is totally and infinitely subsumed. So the chip body allows everybody to get more abstract, more extreme in their non-human communication, which we witnessed during the Trump year. So the Trump election was a manifestation and making figure what had been going on in the population for a couple of years. You follow that? And this page is describing it pretty accurately. Yet the struggle against semiocapital's efforts, so the struggle of the chip body against the TV body, yet the struggle against semiocapital's efforts to form subjectivity so that it hangs on a single designation of value and subsumes all the diverse types of valorization. Those are aesthetic types, desiring types, and ecosophical, and hangs on a single designation of value and subsumes all the diverse types of valorization to surplus value is, Guattari identified, the deathly heart of all universes of value that draws them in and tries to obliterate them. That's exactly what Matt Taibbi is saying that Fox News did, just destroyed all values, all sensibilities, all proper political behavior. That's what's being spelled out here.
Yeah.
And this was written in 2015, 10 years later, from Fox News. Did you want to say something, Gene?
No, I was agreeing. And,
okay.
And you pointed out a couple of things in Taibbi's article where he may not even recognize, he's not relating it to McLuhan. And Janoska
right.
was stating it out loud, stating it directly.
Yes, and Janoska has written a book or two heavily influenced by McLuhan, or about McLuhan. So, but this is the postmodern, post-Marxist theoreticians talking, more conceptual babble, perceptual neologisms compared to McLuhan. And probably this is more accurate about our time than McLuhan was. McLuhan was simple.
He's influenced, or he writes about Baudrillard, and he's translated Baudrillard's work.
Yeah. So talking about capitalism, as a semiotic operator, capitalism tends to pump the implosion of value, the disappearance of value, into the raw material of subjectivity, making consciousness a pinhead, toxifying machinic inventiveness, transversal creativity, and devolving enunciative diversity. Now, there is a lot of diversity going on, so I'm not sure where Gary's getting here. It accomplishes these by fragmenting time, boldly integrating into the machinic network general semiotic capacities, integrating into the machinic network general semiotic capacities and making wages as minimal as the time mobilized transversally on demand. The result of semiotic labor in the age of semiocapital is an infocommodity that need not achieve substantiation. This infocommodity flirts with substance and retains, flirting with substance, the infocommodity retains a strange gelatinous desolidity. Guattari's interpretation, remember I was saying no more hardware, endless software flow. I had another term in there that I was saying on that radio show. Forget it now. Guattari's interpretation of Helmslev moved the analysis of production away from physical objects with determinate qualities. The socio-biophysiological means of articulation and social understandings of semiotic substances toward productive creativity yielding an immaterial result, that's semiotic segments, that is combined with other such segments. The immaterial products of immaterial or mostly mental labor display both liquidity, which Berardi indexes to the liquefaction of time, and hence the semiotic flows keep the info commodity from completely hardening and temporariness linked to the unrelenting speeds of electronic information environments. Such environments facilitate the combination and recombination of abstract semiotic fragments by digital laborers who generate info commodities by means of their highly personalized creativity. In quotes, mental states, feelings, and imagination, personalized creativity, across the surplus value generating platforms to which they are enslaved as producers and consumers users. Semiotic segments can be put into place either by producers or users, completing, in the words of Amazon's Mechanical Turk Marketplace, for work on demand, human intelligent tasks, what is this? Semiotic segments can be put into place either by producers or users, completing, in the words of Amazon's Mechanical Turk, marketplace for work on demand, human intelligent tasks like copying, pasting, searching the web, and categorizing, or by cultivating successful social processes like sharing hyperlinks, i.e. among authors and audiences of microblogs. That sentence ends there. Semiotic segments can be put into place either by producers or users, completing, in the words of Amazon's Mechanical Turk marketplace for work on demand, completing human intelligence tasks like copying, pasting, searching the web, and categorizing, or by cultivating successful social processes like sharing hyperlinks, i.e. among authors
work
and audiences
demand.
Of microblogs. Right. Lazzarato reminds us that this is the product and is immediately the process of valorization. What is that? Browsing habits, linking to a site, of providing keywords for value and rank analysis. I guess that's what a lot of people do, right? It's the kind of labor they get paid to do. I guess they work for Google. Lazzarato reminds us that this is the product and is immediately the process of valorization, of browsing habits, of linking to a site, of providing keywords for value and rank analysis. So back here I have a note. The result of semiotic labor in the age of semiocapital is an info commodity that need not achieve substantiation. I have that as another way of reading Finnegan's Wake. You never get solid conclusion points in Finnegan's Wake. And then I have here the socio-biophysiological means of articulation and social understandings of semiotic substances. That's the chemical body. And this whole thing about the immaterial products of immaterial or mostly mental labor display both liquidity, which Berardi indexes to the liquefaction of time, and hence the semiotic flows keep the info commodity from completely hardening, and temporariness linked to the unrelenting speed of electronic information environments. Call that the pentadic. That's the machine doing a post-tetradic sense of order, creating a sense of order. All right, so we got a few minutes. Are you people ready to go another hour, or you've had it? Is this it?
I've had it.
Bob, yeah, I've got to sign off as well. Sorry.
Okay, we only did a little bit of critical semiotics, Gary Ganosko's book. I have a feeling I did some of this last time, and I was repeating myself, but maybe not. Anyway, it's good to go over it. And,
well, I have one question.
We'll say, Bill, end in 5 minutes. In 5 minutes, make sure Bill sees that. Okay, Bill, end in 5 minutes. Okay, go ahead, Gene.
The last thing you said, that's semio commodity of information, blah, 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 is the pentadic. You describe that as the pentadic? Are you
That's the machine doing tetrad management. Not humans like we did in the Secret Council 10, 50 years ago. Not humans doing the tetrad management or modulating the quadraphenic environment. It's the machine doing it to itself among its parts.
Like, and that's like what was described in Janosko's writing, that categorizing or breaking it into little micro groups of information.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's what the workers were doing.
Yeah. And that's the Semio product, are those little
pockets.
Yes.
The Semio product is what the TV body picks up within the mix of the five bodies. Because there's no material, no substance in the chip body. It's just wacky imitation
right.
of machinic processing.
Mm-hmm. And we're producers and consumers at the same time.
And we're both.
Yeah.
And the producers are enslaved as much as the consumers.
And that I had Fox News in mind. You know, I was just thinking of Fox News as both producer and consumer, or the consumers of Fox News as both producers and consumers. They mimic each other in a way.
The super audience, like the super enterprise, works for itself. The super enterprise is like the producers, the audience is the consumers, but they merge and separate on either side of the position. That's what I was saying 20 years ago to John Hessling of CFRB. The tactile situation is very ambiguous, ambivalent. I was trying to explain that to him. And, of course, his categorizing DJ radio talk show mind was getting scrambled. And he thought he was going insane, or he was just pretending that I was insane so that he wouldn't get in trouble having me on.
And this wraps up nicely because this explains why the death of Roger Ailes is significant, why you pointed it out specifically in this forum.
It's his – you have Pat – you know, he was in the White House, Nixon's White House, with Pat Buchanan. You know, people like to say Pat Buchanan prefigured Trump. Well, so did Roger Ailes. Now, was Ailes murdered to weaken Trump's network? That's the question.
Well,
because he was still around, ready to do other stuff. What?
It marks the end of Fox, doesn't it? That Fox is...
Yep. The end of the Soviet Bolshevik, in Dr. Beter's terms, the Bolshevik Empire out of the Pentagon. Remember, Beter describes the top-down manipulation of this media effect and how the goal was to isolate America, you know, back in the 80s. And they did that with Reaganism. But how much do you want to go into what image of America is, you know, is Reaganism? What are the average people doing? What media they're using? Most people are ignoring the political dynamics of management and control and just engaging in the new digital body and the new digital environments that were coming out of the gaping maw of the Android meme.
Yes.
So we caused the greatest monster in American history. We did, the consumers of the media. And we are the monster. Or they are, or it was, or it's over. Or
once
welcome
again,
aboard.
It'll go down in history. It'll go down in history.
Bob, it won't get to history. Yeah.
That's right.
No history. There's no finish line, so there's no history
never
to
mind.
Register in. Yeah, never mind that, Stephen G.
Brilliant.
And there
you
have.
Bob.
Good night.
Thank
sweetheart.
You, guys. Thank you for putting up with.
Thank you.
Good night, Nicholas.
8 hours.
Michael. Night, Bert.
Hope you enjoyed the music. Go back and listen to the music.
Nothing to sleep on.
First
hope you're comfortable, Leon.
Nothing to hide.
See you on Saturday. Saturday we continue probing our own anus.
Yeah.
Carry, break, wear down, wear out. Bury, sweetheart.